We're talking stocks today with Tim Vick, Director of Research at Naples Trust Company. Welcome to the Money Life Market Call. Yes, it's Money Life Market Call time, and my guest today, Tim Vick. Like I said, he's Director of Research at Naples Trust Company, a sister to Sanibel Captiva Trust Company. And if you want to learn more about the firm and what they do, it's Naples Trust Company, all written out, naplestrustcompany.com. But Tim, a longtime investor, very distinct research personality. And as I was saying the other day, well, you know, we always define value and bottoms up. We have to make sure that it's not just using those terms. You got to know how they work. Well, you'll definitely want to know how it works with Tim. But he's going to talk about some big name things that I suspect you're going to like this discussion. Tim Vick, welcome back to Money Life.
It's always a pleasure, Chuck. Thanks for having me again on your show.
So we always start with methodology. And like I said, yours is not unique, but you have your own definitions for the key terms that other people might label you with. So explain how it works. What goes into your buys and sells?
Well, first of all, we're not your typical fund manager or the money manager who's going to put together a single, let's say, optimum portfolio that every client's going to get. Our services are more well-rounded. We've expanded in many directions. We do asset management, wealth management, financial planning, estate planning. We do surrogate family offices. So by definition, the portfolio needs and the way we're going to approach a portfolio is going to be much different. We're not necessarily charged with trying to find the next hot stock that's going to beat the S&P 500. What we're looking for families is we're trying to sustain their lifestyles and savings for the rest of their lives. And in many cases, we're trying to sustain the lifestyles for their kids and grandkids. And what that really does is punctuate this process of focusing on patience and focus and quality, all the types of things that we wrap into a typical investment model. And it's all about finding the best quality companies we can for these families. We try to find them at excellent prices if we can, although that's not always possible in a roaring bull market. But if we can find them at good prices, we'll take it. We want long holding periods, low turnover, tax efficiency for clients. And then we want focused portfolios. We like to run portfolios that may have 30 or 35 high-quality names in there that we're going to, as I said, hold a long period of time and just let them flower over time. And we hope that a lot of these companies are outliving our clients.
That said, how do you, when you're looking at a concentrated portfolio, decide where you're going to make a change? I mean, what winds up being sold? Because, you know, is it I find a faster horse? Is it this one is kind of played out? Because you are looking at that long-term thing and you are willing always to take the long view. So you're not sweating, there was a bad quarter here, or there was something along those lines. But what makes you tighten up your portfolio and make a change?
Well, families may come to us and they have specific needs. And that need may be, I need 6% a year or such, and maybe it's only 3%. But whatever the case, anything that's in that portfolio needs to be able to do more than that 6% or whatever that need is going to be, and we have to be able to quantify that. So we're willing, if we're holding a company that there's not a lot of pressure on the, you know, on the family to just really appreciate that stock, we're willing to tolerate, let's say, a weak quarter with a company. But we also do have a very disciplined, you know, sell process. You know, if the company just loses its direction, loses its focus, loses its strategy, starts making silly acquisitions, then, you know, we will second guess that our whole decision for owning it, then, you know, replace it with something else. If the company just gets so egregiously valued that we can model going forward that if we hold this company the next 5 years, we're likely to get, let's say, a 1% annual return on it, it's going to come out of the portfolio. And, you know, that type of discipline is going to come in handy, particularly as stock prices get stretched. You know, as we've had for 9 years now of a bull market, you've got companies now trading at PE ratios and price to cash flow ratios well in excess of historical averages, well in excess of what you normally would find in the eighth or ninth year of a bull market. So you get a little more cautious.
So when you're looking at the valuations today, how easy or hard is it for you to find the right things? Do you have to go further afield because valuations are stretched, or is it not maybe as stretched as a lot of people want to look at?
I think you have to put the valuations in context. Yes, the stock market is near an all-time high, and a lot of companies and their stock prices are near all-time highs, but so is their performance. Sales are at an all-time high, or GDP is at an all-time high, consumer spending is at an all-time high. All these things are gelling together, and it tells us that this market really has justified its rally, at least the last 15, 18 months, and you couple that with the fact that they've got huge tax relief, that now they can drive to the bottom line, and that has suddenly delivered 20-25% earnings growth year over year for a number of large companies, you can look back and say, you know, this big rally we've had in the market, at least since the beginning of 2016, has been fully justified. What we look for is the senseless rallies, the stocks that suddenly jumped 60 and 70% in the course of 1 year and give you the return in that 12-month period that you might have expected over an 8- or 10-year period. Then you've got to ask yourself, if I keep holding this company, what are the chances I'm going to have a negative total return? Or has this company just given us fully the return we'd expect over an entire lifetime? If that's the case, then we're going to always look to strengthen the portfolio on a valuation basis.
What's the poster child for the methodology right now? What's a stock that stands out to you as like, yep, this is it?
Well, in terms of great values, it's hard to find screaming bargains, but, you know, I'm going to throw a name at you. It sounds kind of odd, but, you know, Apple Computer. This was a company, it was a screaming value at $90 a share, and now it's back above $200 a share. You would say, well, you know, did people miss the boat? Not necessarily. The company's fundamentals have improved so much, and its ability to raise its dividend and buy back a ton of stock over the next 4 or 5 years has been accelerated to such an extent, and they've, we think, curtailed some of the price and profit margin issues that have been afflicting them back in 2015 and 16. At $200, this company looks as attractive to us as it did at $90. And it's kind of an odd situation, and Apple's not the only one out there, but this is what happens if you keep watching a company and it continues to grow. Sometimes it can grow back into a decent valuation.
Apple has gotten so large. We've had a number of guests here who have been moving away from it, but they've been moving away from it thinking that it has to go through some measure of pain. For you, is it the longer lens that makes them more attractive?
It's the longer lens, but also you just model outward the fact that the pie is growing on the mobile phones, and of course that's where they're going to get the majority of the revenues and operating profits in the future, but you also look at their capital allocation. You're looking at a company that, well, as of the end of last year, had $250 billion of cash sitting on their balance sheet. It's being repatriated to the United States slowly and surely. That's going to be put to use either in terms of product development, or it's going to come back to shareholders as a dividend or share buybacks. And they can buy back so much stock over the next 3 to 5 years, they can grow their earnings 30 or 40% from those buybacks, earnings per share, and do nothing with no sales growth at all. This company's earnings are going to grow, and I think that's one of the reasons that Warren Buffett really got attracted to this company back, you know, at $90 a share, and it's also the reason that he's still been buying it recently. So you've got to always, you know, keep fresh eyes on these companies, even as they continue to grow, and never lose sight of the fact that, you know, valuation is a modulating factor in the market, that what may have looked overvalued 12 months ago can change radically, particularly when you've got lower tax rate and the company starts accelerating its growth again.
What else stands out to you right now?
Well, we look at companies like BlackRock. BlackRock has, I think, fallen 20-25% from its high. Now, this is the asset manager, big issuer of iShares. They, like Vanguard, have been soaking up the lion's share of new incremental dollars coming into the market. And here's a company that suddenly looks very attractive to us as a, let's call it, growth and income play. They're not getting strong growth as you would out of a tech company, but you're also getting a very high dividend that's going to be accelerating probably 30 to 40% over the next 4 years. You couple that with some great capital allocation, the fact that they're picking up market share from all their competitors in the money management business, that looks like a very attractive play to us.
And in a space like financial services, I mean, you got BlackRock, ticker symbol BLK. We're now in a rising rate environment. We have a lot of people who are saying the next sweet spot in the market is going to be back in the financials. But for you, given that you want to keep a tight portfolio, is it by the best in breed? I mean, are there other financials that stand out to you and you might be willing to own if they take a slightly different space? Or is it, I want the best of breed and I'll leave everything else to the other guy?
Well, we want best of breed, certainly. And that means companies with competitive advantages that we know are going to be around and picking up market share over the next 10 or 15 years. But I'll tell you, we've made a very big switch in financial services in the last couple of years where we have walked away from and avoided a lot of the typical spread lenders, you know, the retail banks, the regional banks, the ones that owe most of their profits to just lending money out at 6% while they're paying out 3%, you know, for the cost of that money and you know, living off that 3% spread. That business is drying up, and certainly with the interest rate yield curve flattening right now. It's putting a lot of margin pressure on these types of banks. You couple that with all the regulation that's come down the pipe the last few years against the banks. It's making them very difficult for them to earn high returns on their equity. So when we look at financial services anymore, we are looking from different types of companies. We're looking at companies like MasterCard or PayPal, you know, companies that are involved in transactions and just taking a little bit of fee income off every transaction that may go over the internet. And we might look at a company like a BlackRock. We might look at a Berkshire Hathaway or a company like a FactSet Data Services, a company that just basically sells financial data to money managers. And this is our way around not getting involved with the spread lenders as we did in the past, but it also helps us enjoy this big growing pie of financial services that, you know, at least in this country, has been growing faster than the economy for the last 30 years.
Absolutely. Now we're going to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
Yes, it's hold it or fold it time with my guest, Tim Vick. He is the director of research at Naples Trust Company. And if you want more information on what they do for their clients, go to NaplesTrustCompany.com. Now, hold it or fold it is where we put our guests to your test. And if you want to test our guests, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in for stocks, funds, ETFs, closed-end funds, whatever you got. Send it to Chuck at MoneyLiveShow.com. We'll add it to our list. Hope it makes it into an interview soon. Now, we were just talking about financial services, and you mentioned at the end of it, maybe a MasterCard. Well, Andrew near San Jose, California, and Dave in Beaver Dams, New York, both wanted to know about Visa. It's ticker symbol V.
I would classify, for Andrew's sake, Visa as a definite hold. We've owned it for years. It's one of our largest positions, and we like the fact that it just dominates the electronic payments processing market. I think they probably process half of all the credit card transactions on Earth, as well as more than half of all the debit card transactions here in the United States. They've been growing at probably 10 to 15% annual rates since 2009, and that's faster than most financial companies have been able to, you know, muster since that time. So they deserve a premium valuation. Occasionally, the valuation, I think, with a Visa gets stretched, and when it does, you just wait for a price pullback, but it's a definite hold.
Now, we, of course, call it hold it or fold it. You just made a case for holding it. Is it actually in a territory where you'd buy it? Because we do give buy recommendations.
Yes, if you've got a long-term time horizon, I think this company's going to do just quite fine.
Okay, so it's actually a buy. It's hold it if you've got it, but you can buy more on ticker symbol V, Visa.
I'm in this for the long haul.
Dave in Beaver Dams, New York, had another request, this one for PM. That's Philip Morris International.
Well, I'll have to tell Dave to fold on this one. This stock, I know, has fallen probably 30% in the past several months, and it would appear attractive right now and might appear to be a value trap. It's got a decent PE ratio. I think the yield is well over 5% now. But the company, in our opinion, just stopped growing. Its sales peaked, I think, 2011, 2012. We've seen that unit volume growth of cigarettes around the world is slowly falling, and really this trend to kick the habit is really taking hold, not only in the United States, but in places where people used to smoke, quite a bit. And I think when all is said and done on a Philip Morris, you're just left with a company that's going to have to do a lot of restructuring, a lot of financial engineering, just to keep the profit levels where they are today. So, you know, rather than look at a Philip Morris, I might turn inward. Look in the United States here at other consumer stocks. We like Costco, I think would be a great replacement right now. It has a lot of financial tailwinds at its back.
So it's a fold on Philip Morris. Don't fall for the value trap.
Put that one on the psycho list.
On PM, but if you're looking for something to replace it in the consumer space, that was a buy on Costco, COST.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. We could make a fortune.
Rick in York, Pennsylvania wants to know about Fastenal Corporation, ticker symbol FAST.
That's an interesting one, Rick, and that's a way to play the construction boom in the United States right now without exposing yourself to these highly cyclical companies like home builders or construction engineering companies whose earnings can really fall off the table when we go into a recession. Fastenal, for those of you who don't know, it's a Minnesota-based distributor of nuts and bolts and screws and tools. They've been around about 52 years, and they distribute these to factories and contractors. They do about $4.5 billion a year in revenues, and those revenues have been growing nicely, 10 to 15% a year over the last several years. And what we like about Fastenal is that the valuation got considerably cheaper. I think the stock had peaked at one point around 2012, and the earnings and the profits kept going up, so the P.E. ratio kept coming down. So about a year ago, it started to look attractive to us for the first time in about a decade. So definitely this is on our buy list right now.
That's a buy on ticker symbol F-A-S-T, Fastenal Corp.
Could we please buy now?
Next, for Mark in Mitchell, South Dakota, it's VMware, ticker symbol VMW.
This is another interesting company. We like it, Mark, and it just dominates the enterprise software and the virtualization software space. They have a run rate right now of probably $8 billion in revenues, and most of that is sticky. They have a lot of licensing contracts, and that's probably 40 to 50% of their business that just recurs every year. Their revenues have quadrupled, I think, over the last 7 or 8 years. And they generate a lot more cash flow than they do earnings. So you might be scared away by a high P.E. ratio for a stock like VMware, but you adjust for the cash flow that it actually generates, and the company looks a lot more, you know, attractively priced to us. They've been growing their sales at 10 to 15% annual rates. I think that can probably continue the next 4 or 5 years. And there's also an interesting play right now in the fact that Dell Computer owns 81% of the stock of VMware, and Dell is going to use stock swaps and asset swaps to try to take itself public, and that may enhance shareholders even further.
He either gets on board or he gets left behind.
That's a buy on VMW, VMware. And last, for Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, it's Spectra Energy Partners, SEP.
Well, that's another interesting play in the oil and gas pipeline sector, and it's made more interesting by the fact that Enbridge is going to buy them. I believe they're going to close the deal in the fourth quarter, and you're going to get Enbridge shares for your Spectra Energy Partners shares. So that means if you're looking at Spectra right now, you're really looking at Enbridge, and you're asking yourself, do I want to own Enbridge longer term? We think both stocks had fallen quite a bit in the past year. Both of them looked undervalued. We thought that Enbridge is buying Spectra Energy on the cheap, but at the same time, it looks pretty attractive. We think the cash flows and the distributions that are going to result from this combined company are going to be slightly enhanced. So with these prices now, with Spectra in the $34-$35 range, it looks very attractive to us. Keep in mind, you're going to be owning Enbridge here in a few months, and that also looks attractive.
So it's a buy on either Spectra Energy or Enbridge, ENB, Spectra SEP.
This hit rock bottom. Come on, let's buy.
Those were buys. And speaking of goodbyes, well, we've come to the point where we have to say our goodbyes to Tim Vick. But Tim, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Chuck. Really enjoyed it.
Tim Vick, everybody. He is Director of Research at Naples Trust Company. To learn more about what he does there and what the company does, go to NaplesTrustCompany.com. Now, to learn more about some stocks that he talked about and whether he agreed or disagreed with some recent guests, well, stay tuned, because we'll talk about that before we send you home right after this message. This is Money Life.